Party people. Yes, if you're hearing my voice, it is your favorite cousin. You didn't even know you needed. I know I'm your favorite. You don't have to tell anybody. Lady Payton 90 on TikTok, which, by the way, we are live right now on TikTok while I am shooting this episode. Also, as well, your favorite cousin on Instagram, Lady Payton _MUA. How have you guys been doing? I know I have been absent. I missed last week actually posting, but I do apologize because some of y'all did ask about the episode. And I do have a good juicy episode because inspired by Veronica Ron Brown, shout out to her, also known as Oh So Dope Network on Instagram and also as well on YouTube and everything else. Make sure y'all check her out. She's an amazing comedian. She does artistry as far as photography, you name it. That girl damn near does all of it. Okay. Hello to all my TikTok followers right there. We're going to do this right. My cousins, how y'all doing, folks? We are literally live right now on TikTok as I'm doing this episode, and I'm so excited. How y'all doing tonight? All my folks that are watching me, all 160 y'all, it's on and popping. So let's talk about it, shall we? The episode that I've been waiting to do, for reals. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about surviving a fuckboy, shall we? First off, if you're listening right now, I know y'all are tuning in live right now as this is happening. Let's give the broad definition, okay? What is a fuckboy? I'm glad that you ask. Let me elaborate. I had to take a sip on this definition right here. A fuckboy, in retrospect, is somebody that is phenomenal at gaslighting, amazing at giving beautiful dick, but also ain't worth the god good giggity goddamn. Now, feel free to break that down at your leisure. But in the grand scheme of things, basically, a fuckboy is somebody that act like they about that life, but they ain't about shit, okay? You may have encountered them, had a brief moment with them, hell, made a baby with a motherfucker. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's just trifling season all the way around with them. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about it, right? Here's the number one thing that kills me with a fuckboy. They can dish it, but they can't take it. All right. Now, this is what makes no sense to me. One of my good friends, okay, she doesn't know I'm doing this, but let's talk about it, right? So one of the guys that she was dealing with, right, he says that, you know, he don't want a relationship. That's normally their number one goddamn answer. Oh, you know, I'm just out here cooling. I'm just chilling, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get back to me, you know what I'm talking about? But, you know, I want to kick it with you though, right? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can still hang out, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I like your vibe. And now, if you're listening to this or if you're tuning in on TikTok, hey, you're probably like, bitch, I got a fuckboy. Yes, you do, okay? Let your cousin be the one to tell you. So if you've heard any of those things, those sentences in the same breath, it's even worse. So yes, you got a fuckboy, sis. Let me further continue. All right, so she tells me the story of the situation, right? Her and this guy, they've been knowing each other for a while. Okay, you know, the typical thing. Cool, right? Cool. He comes off the back saying, you know, hey, look, I ain't really interested in a relationship, all that jazz. Okay, cool. And so her being the type of her, when I tell you that she is literally the queen of nonchalant, she will literally let you know that you are not necessary and needed faster than you can breathe. Faster than I did that pause. Yes. So anyway, she's telling me the story, and it's not about the fact that she was just so like crazy about this guy or just enthralled. Like, for the type of friend that the friends that I have, they are boss bitches all day long. Like, they literally let you know, like, hey, I don't need you. I want you. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of woman that you want anyway, because at the end of the day, it's even more special that you get to stick around because she wants you, not because she actually needs your ass. There's a difference. You hold even more value because it's different than a woman that's trying to, you know, mooch off of you or come up off of you because she ain't got shit herself. But it's a different thing when you got a boss ass woman that's got a good heart, a good mind, and she wants to build with you on top of what she already brings to the table for herself. Feel me, right? All right, so let's continue on with the story. Here we go. So she tells me, she was like, you know what? We was kicking it hard for a little bit, you know, I ain't tripping, you know, he do his thug dizzle, dick me down, you know what I'm talking about? And then he go on about his business, so we kiki and laugh, right? And I'm like, okay, that sounds normal so far. Okay, so continue. And so then she was like, but then all of a sudden, he acting funny, you know, the dick become less frequent, right? And then, you know, the conversations become less frequent. Classic signs of ghosting, right? Right. So then next thing you know, he pops back up out of nowhere. He's saying, you know, like, hey, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, I've been having a lot going on. Same bullshit excuses, right? And so then she's just like, all right, word. Like this, I'm literally like, my homegirl, she is so nonchalant. Love this woman to death. And so next thing you know, he's like, okay, like I fucks with you, but I got like somebody else I deal with more heavy. And I'm just like, what? Now, this is what makes no sense to me, right? This is what usually the classic case of the fuckboyism happens. This is what makes no sense, right? And it's not even necessarily a situation of a fuckboy at this point. You're just dealing with a mother trucker that doesn't know what he wants, right? And this is what pisses me off the most. Don't tell me that you're not ready for a relationship and you're not ready to do XYZ, and then all of a sudden, less than 2 minutes, your ass fall off on this Facebook place or whatever you want to call it, because everybody's mad at Facebook right now. We'll talk about that later. But the fact that you're going to fall out of nowhere and now you're in a relationship. Make it make sense, because it doesn't. Because at the end of the day, here's what grinds my gears. And this is what me and her were talking about. It's not about the fact that we didn't go into a relationship per se. It's more about the fact that you just basically made me an option. And this is what I told her. And I'm a firm believer in this, right? Y'all can agree with me. Y'all can disagree. Tell me if I'm wrong in the comments, okay? Even though deep down inside, I know I'm an option, don't ever make me feel like I'm an option. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't ever let me know it. Like, physically know it or mentally know it. Like, I already know it mentally, but don't like make it known to me in a way that's disrespectful, right? Like, am I tripping on that? How I'm looking at that, y'all? Because at the end of the day, if we're doing what we do, right? We grown, we agree that we're gonna have our little, you know, rendezvous, okay? Whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about? And next thing you know, when we hang out, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, when you with me, you with me, right? I don't want to hear about anybody else outside the door. I don't want to know what you got going on with her. I don't want to know none of that shit. Because guess what? My time with you is my time with you, right? And just like vice versa, anytime in the past when I was single and I was dealing with a guy, if you had my attention right then and there, it didn't matter if you were the flavor of Thursday. It didn't matter if you were the flavor of the week. It didn't matter. But the point is that in that day, I made you feel like you were the most important person on the planet when you were with me. Because you know why? I'm respectful. I'm a lady, okay? I keep it classy at all times. Keep it cute, keep it classy, okay? But the point of the matter is, what's the difference between a woman that's aware of herself and that she may not want to deal with nobody, but she kind of want to enjoy herself a little bit, and a fuckboy ain't going to be honest about it. They'll act like they were honest about it and then gaslight your ass when you call them out about not being honest about it. And then look at you like you crazy. And then wonder why you ready to key his car and steal his mail and knock his mama over, even though you know she walked with a cane. I said what I said. No regrets. She's okay though, by the way. I'm kidding, y'all. That never happened. But it came close. But no, it never happened. Joking. But no, dead ass though, like when she was telling me this story and this guy is literally being completely just being on top of it. Here's the thing. Don't try to gaslight me with a compliment and be like, man, you know, we're not going to really be able to hang out much no more because, you know, if I come over here, shit, it's on sight when I see you. And I'm thinking to myself, like, motherfucker could have been on sight all the damn time. So why now is it that even though you deciding to talk to somebody, I'm such a temptress and I make you feel so tempted and all these other things, but you couldn't be tempted your ass enough to actually really try to give it a chance and deal with me? That makes no sense. Well, you know, here's my whole riddle me this on this situation as a whole. Like I say again, don't play yourself. You're not playing me. You're playing yourself at the end. Because realistically, the way I look at it, and somebody's going to ask in these comments, they're going to be like, how are they playing themselves? Baby, I'm the catch. What you mean? Don't get it twisted. Let me tell you something. Any man with common sense knows if he finds a good woman, he knows he has found a home. A woman takes a house and makes it a home. A woman takes groceries and makes it a meal. Because the difference is with the way that we as women are, whenever our backs are against the wall, we could go through so much shit, so much trial, so much tribulation. We still have enough in us to give out love to people, even when we don't even have enough time to love ourselves. I mean, am I lying? Come on now. Right now, this is really hitting somebody's spirit. You're like, damn, bitch, you telling my life. I know, because it's the truth. We as women give up so much of our time, our energy, our space, our being, everything else to see people be the best version of themselves that they could possibly be. We literally give up sometimes we give up our identities when we go into either being parents or relationships. Do you know how many friends I have actually seen, or just people in general, where sometimes they don't even know what they like anymore? Because all they have become now is a caretaker and a provider to their family. They don't even know what the hell their favorite color is no more. They don't even know what outfits they like to wear. They can't tell you shit. Because you know what? They're the nurse. They're the doctor. They the chauffeur. They the baby. They all of that and then some. And then I got to be freaky nasty for you when you want me to be, and still turn tricks even though my goddamn knee is fucked up because I stepped on a Lego and almost lost all six of my toes. Yeah, I said what I said. But what people fail to realize is that in all of this stuff, and this is one thing that is so phenomenal to me about just being a woman and everything in this entity. And I really don't think people think about this. And this is what pisses me off about fuckboys. Fuckboys become fuckboys because a bad woman fucked them up. You see what I'm saying? And here's where I'm going with this. Watch this, right? The reason why they were called a fuckboy, this is my opinion. Y'all can disagree. I feel like a fuckboy became a fuckboy because he got fucked over as a boy. Ooh, right? The depth of what I just said. Let's elaborate, right? So a lot of times when you are dealing with some men that are either emotionally unavailable, manipulative, they'll gaslight the shit out of you, literally in that embodiment, they will not commit to anything outside of the bullshit that they tell themselves, right? Let's elaborate, right? At some point, there was a little boy that was so in love with a woman, either A, his mom, his grandmother, or the first real relationship he had, and one of those three women broke their heart. I'm telling you, I'm so serious. I'm not making this up. It's the reality of it. Most young men that are fuckboys, they got their heart broken by one of those three women in their life, if not all three. Because you got some guys that have a situation where they were raised by their grandmother, but their love was all that they ever knew, but it was still not the type of love that they needed because they were still missing the mother. So they still got hurt by the grandmother, even though it was inadvertently, right? Because grandma's grandma, but she's not mom. So you still feel abandoned. Hello. Still feel unwanted because your mom didn't take care of you because your grandmother had to. Come on now, stick with me. You on the road? Let's go. Let me take a detour. So, right. So then first, that was grandma, right? So then let's take it the other route. Let's say it was mom. So mom is the mom that she's always at work because your dad is not around. Because in most cases, most of these fuckboys don't necessarily have their father. And then if they do have their father, they're living up to the expectation of who he was because he wasn't shit either. So now he's picked up his habits because he ain't shit to your mom, and he glorifies that. And so because of the fact that you see the way that your mom chases after him, you see that women are less than because your mom had to chase after a no good guy. And all she did to bend and break her neck to support a man that would not support you or her. So now you want to aspire to be that man because you see what he does to women. You look at it as an aspiring thing. And so therefore, now your mom is not the type of person that you really want to date anyway, because you're like, hey, these women are going to chase me, so I might as well give them something to chase, right? Mm-hmm. I'm spitting facts, people. They met the first love of their life, right? Okay. So let's say they may have gotten unscathed by grandma. They get unscathed by mom because mom and grandma are actually great, right? Right, right, right. So they're revered by women. They love women because they have these two matriarchs that show them what a good woman is supposed to be. So then, bop, 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 the first love of their life. They most of the time meet them either in middle school or high school. Now, the high school one is the one that they take the most serious because you're a little bit more older. You're a little bit more developed. You look at things a little bit more differently. You're starting to become the person that is a stepping stone to the bigger person that you'll become, right? Okay, watch this. So you meet that girl. You give her everything. You're everything that your mom and grandma taught you to be. But watch what happens. Y'all are young. You're still young, dumb, and full of cum, and you don't realize that even though this young lady may not have been ready for what you were ready to give now, it didn't mean that there was going to be a young lady down the line that wouldn't. But the problem is this one fucked over you because you gave her your all. And watch what happens. You give her your all. You're the perfect guy. You're faithful. You're this, that, and the third. And she bypasses you. She treats you like shit or your dreams or aspirations. You're telling her things that you feel that you've never told anybody else. And she looks at you crazy. Oh, he too soft. He too nice. He too good. And then that's the fucked up woman. And now the fucked up little girl fucked over the boy to make him the fuck boy. And then the fuck boy has a long era and saga because in his mind, there will never be another woman that's going to ever be able to have him the way those women did. And so now he treats every other woman differently because one of those three women, or all three, changed his viewpoint of what women can be to him in the future. So now he's just thinking that every woman I encounter, either I can utilize them or get something out of them. Basically, it's a double-edged sword. It's both. So what can I utilize a woman for since what I tried to give a woman, they didn't appreciate? Or what I tried to be to somebody or what I saw growing up wasn't one I want to deal with. And then you have the saga of the fuckboy. Yep, I know. I need to write a book. I'm pretty damn awesome. But that's the reason why you're tuning into the podcast and you're watching me live on TikTok. Because you know I spit facts all day long, okay? But now a lot of you ladies are sitting up here thinking to yourself, you're probably thinking about conversations that you've had with your fuckboy that you had to survive. And you're like, damn. All this shit makes sense. And that's the reason why a lot of times people are allowing the past to make decisions for them in the present. Let's talk about it, shall we? Now, I know the episode is talking about, you know, surviving the fuckboy, but there's a deeper level to this because when you really stop and think about it, it makes you think about how many levels of trauma that people don't deal with, including yourself. Because really, let's talk about it, right? Why do we allow ourselves to get encapsulated by a man that will never fully give us the attention that we deserve, more than likely the attention that we need? Because in women, we are programmed by society to think that we have to be the fixers and the nurturer, even when that person is not reciprocating what we ultimately need. We have been so brainwashed in society to believe that it is our job to nurture and to provide to anybody, even if that person is not worth doing it for. Bum, 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 bum. I just fucked your head up, didn't I? Exactly. So then now you're sitting up here telling yourself like, damn, is something wrong with me? Because I keep going to these guys, keep thinking that I can fix them and keep thinking I can change them, but I keep getting hurt. So then now it goes from you looking at his trauma to you having to analyze your own. Now you're thinking like, oh shit, that sounds like accountability. Yep, it sure is. Sure the hell is. And that sometimes, my people, is the scariest thing you can do when you have to hold yourself accountable for the people that you have also chosen to date. Yep, let's talk about it, shall we? Let's really. Maybe it's getting hot because we're really talking about it right now. Let's talk about it for a portion of this is accountability, right? So what does really accountability mean, even though when you feel like you've been wronged in a relationship? Accountability is acknowledging that you stayed in something way too long when it wasn't good for you. Honestly, when you try to make life of an already dead situation, I know that just hit somebody in the gut right now when I just said that, listening to that. Sometimes you are putting life into something that is already dead. Once it's gone, you can't bring it back. So a lot of times we're already losing energy because we're putting energy into something that can't receive or reciprocate that energy back. So a lot of times people can receive things from you, but it doesn't mean that they're taking in what you give. Think about what I'm saying right now. You can give so much heart, so much energy, so much spirit, so much mind into your relationship, and you keep wondering why you feel like you're in a dead situation. It's because it's not alive. You are literally living through a dead situation, trying to resuscitate it, and you keep wondering why it won't come back to life, because it's a dead situation. It's done, it's dead, it's gone. Stop trying to put life into something that was never meant to survive. Mm-hmm. And then we sit up here and we become the victim. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't no goddamn victim. I'm a survivor. Damn all that. I am grateful that I have gone and endured some of the things that I've seen, some of the things I've had to feel, and also allowed myself to take accountability for the people that I chose to date. You know, we get mad when they say choose better men, and I always rebuttal, be better men. Ooh, somebody might be offended. That sounds like a personal problem though. But anyway, the point of the matter is that at the end of the day, when I kept hearing that choose better men, I chose myself. Hey, now we're talking about something, because it's so much easier to blame somebody else and let them be the villain because it's easy to be the victim. It's a lot harder to dust yourself off and get back up. See, the victim is a person that's woe is me. They Captain Save-O. They want somebody else to save them. And they want somebody else to get them out the situation that they ultimately put themselves in. Because once you realize that this person ain't shit, they a fuckboy, they not going to do right. If you stay, you're no longer a victim. You're a willing participant. Mm-hmm. I know that hurt somebody's feelings, but I'm your cousin. I'm always going to tell you the truth. And it needed to be said. If you stay in a situation after that first year and you realize what you got, baby, you're a willing participant. I used to tell one of my sisters all the time, I'm gonna keep it all the way 100 with you. Andre, if you're nasty, I'm gonna keep it 3 stacks. I used to tell my little sister, I said, baby, you're not tired. You just settling. And she would come to me and be so upset about her relationship, because she was with a guy that's, you know, he wouldn't buy nothing. You know what I'm saying? He would cheat on her, all this other kind of stuff, everything else, right? And she would just be so upset and so distraught and everything else. And she would be thinking that I'm mean because I was unfazed by it. And I said, girl, you like that drama. And she's like, no, I don't. Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, girl, please, you like it. You thrive on it, because that's the reason why you're still there. Because if you were really tired, you wouldn't be there. At the end of the day, you get no sympathy from me. I'm going to say this again. If you stay in a situation past a year, and there is nothing keeping you there, I'm talking about nothing that is holding you back. Because, okay, let's break this down and talk about it for a second, because I'm realistic. This is not the same thing as if a person is in a dangerous situation and it's a little bit harder for them to get out. I'm not saying that at all, because I am aware that abusive relationships happen. I am aware that they are very difficult and scary to get out of. That is not the same thing. So I want you to understand right now, if that's what you're in, I am not talking about you per se. Okay. What I want you to know, I'm talking to the ones that you live in your own house and you're allowing him to hold you behind bars in your home that you live in solely by yourself. You're allowing a person to have dictatorship over your life, and you built your life for you yourself. That is a completely different synopsis that I'm talking about. Completely different. What I am telling you right now is, if you are a person in a situation where you can rightfully so leave out of the unscathed, unharmed, leave with your money, clothes, and bags in tow, or put his ass out, you will not get any sympathy for me, because at the end of the day, you are a willing participant. You are sticking that situation out long enough for him to become the man that he lied to you that he was. I feel like that might have ruffled some feathers the way I just said that. Let me rephrase that again. Okay. You literally are waiting on him to become the man he lied to you that he was. I need you to hear me and hear me clear when I say that. It is okay to acknowledge that you've been lied to, you've been duped, you've been hoodwinked. It's okay to acknowledge that. Nobody's going to make fun of you because you've made a mistake. That nobody is making you look bad because you made a mistake. You're human. You don't know that people... Here's the thing that kills me about people sometimes, and it makes no sense. People want to talk about you because you chose a fuckboy. Maybe if I would have known that's what it was, I wouldn't have chose it to begin with. This is why I tell people all the time, fuckboys have a way to be wolves in sheep's clothing because they present themselves so nicely. They're well put together. They're well mannered. A lot of them usually end up being educated or, you know, some form of intelligence, because even street intelligence is intelligence. Okay. Don't get it twisted. And they'll basically serenade you with things, make you feel all fuzzy on the inside. And then once they realize they have gotten your attention to where they want it, there's the switch. And now they've gotten you into a state where you can easily be swayed and manipulated because you fell in love with the guy that they presented themselves to be. You fell in love with the representative and not the real candidate. Mm-hmm. When they come in shaking and baking and faking, as I like to call it, you are getting the representative. When they get in office with you, that's when they become the candidate. That's when you know what you really got. And so when they are representing something that is not genuine, that is not real, or, you know, all of those things of the third, you fall in love with it because that's everything that you wanted. See, fuckboys are real intelligent. So seriously, fuckboys are very intelligent because you know why? They know exactly when to talk, when to listen, and when to apply what they've learned. Man, I'm dropping gems on y'all tonight, or whenever time you're listening to the podcast, which thank you, by the way, for being here. We love you. But what I'm saying is that the manipulation is a lot deeper than people think. Manipulation starts in most cases at the beginning of saying hello. When I tell you that fuckboys pay attention to your body language, how you walk, how you talk, how you enter a room with people, that's how they know what they're selecting. It's not just a, okay, you know what? She looks good. Let me get her phone number. I have no idea what I'm going to do with this woman. Oh, they know. They've been paying attention. They've been watching you, you know, either not walk around the room, looking down at the ground when you walk. They pay attention to everything. And that's the reason why most of the time, especially now that I'm at the stage that I am in life, fuckboys run away from me. Because when I walk into a room, I walk, honey. I make an entrance because you know why? I hold my head high. I am walking in with the presence mind that at the end of the day, I don't care if anybody likes anything about me. I love me. That is what you have to carry the difference in order to spot the difference out. When you have a certain love and a certain appreciation for yourself, you'll never let anybody taint it. You don't even care if it's your own mama. You will not let anybody taint the relationship that you have built within yourself. You have to have, I know people talk about having a relationship with God, but the second best relationship you can have, depending on whatever you, you know, choose to celebrate or, you know, understand, the best relationship you can ever have with anybody is with yourself. When you know yourself, nobody else can tell you what you don't know. Man, God dog it, I'm out here, you know what? Somebody sponsor me, God dog it, because I'm out here dropping gems. You know what I'm saying? Every kiss begins with K. I'm just telling you, self-love is so powerful that it will create a barrier of protection around you that people can't, they can see it. I'm telling you, your aura glows different when your love for yourself is strong. And when I tell you it's a powerful and beautiful thing and can't nobody play with you, ooh, I'm talking about it hit different, all the way different. Myself. I literally was single for about 5 years before me and my boyfriend got together. Now, of course, I dated here and there, but I paid attention to subtle cues of things that people would say or things that they would do. Here's my biggest thing. And if you don't take anything else from this episode, which even though you should have took a lot of gems because I was dropping them left and right. Here's the biggest thing that you take anything else. Pay attention about how they talk about their future or their plans, right? Now, this is not necessarily just like if you just start dating a person, right? Because there's a difference between being dating, exclusively dating, and being in a relationship. Shall I give you the definition? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Dating, you can date multiple people. I don't know why people make it seem like that's not a realistic thing. You're supposed to date multiple people and weed out the candidates so you can isolate who you really know that you need to be with, right? That's what dating is, okay? Exclusively dating is where you finally decide, okay, this is the candidate that I want to give a little bit more attention to. Get to know him on a little bit of a deeper level, right? So then you weed out everybody else and you're like, okay, this is the exclusive person that I'm only going to go on dates with and go from there, right? And then finally, once you guys go from exclusively dating and you realize, okay, this is what I really want to do all the time. You're the person that I choose to be with all the time. That is choosing to be in a relationship. Don't get it twisted, okay? Don't let somebody con you into not being able to have other parts of the pie. You can have a piece of that pie. You can have a piece of that pie. You can have a piece of this pie until you decide that this is only the favorite pie that I like to eat. That's okay. And so don't let anybody tell you anything different, right? So we're going into that and saying that what I'm saying is in the grand scheme of things that once you start building upon your relationship and you go further, okay, once you go further, next thing you need to know where you stand in that relationship. And what I mean by that is if y'all say that y'all are together, your I sentences need to become us or we sentences. I'm going to give you a story. You know, I always got plenty of them, right? All right, so we're going to call this guy California. Y'all, my TikTok cousins, y'all know y'all have heard me talk about California before, right? So California and I met many, many, many moons ago. What's up, Danny? Hey, boo. Met many, many, many moons ago, right? And we lost contact and then basically kind of discovered each other again, I think back in like 2019 or something like that, right? Talked here and there, you know. Never went too much further with it, right? And then finally, when the pandemic hit, everybody had time, right? Now, even though he was in the military, whatever, whatever, he was still working because, of course, military still had to, work and all that stuff, right? And so next thing you know, we were talking all the time. I had got laid off from the company I was working at because nobody was working at the time. It was, like I said, COVID was hella real. So next thing you know, our bond got even stronger. And literally, we were talking like every day. Like he was the only person far as like in that capacity, you know what I'm saying? Like I was talking to my friends or whatever, but in that capacity, he was like the only person that really had my attention. And so finally, we were like, okay, well, maybe we can see where this can kind of go, this. And we decided to be exclusively dating, right? But it never really got to that potential point of being girlfriend and boyfriend like it should have been, right? If we're dedicating that much time to each other. So this was the final shindig for me. And this was everything that I needed to know in that moment. So me and him were having a conversation. He was getting ready to move to from California and move closer. Basically, originally he was supposed to be moving to Texas. He ended up not going to Texas. He went somewhere else. I don't freaking know. But anyway, Texas is only like, hop, skip, like knock, knock you home. Like it's right next door, right? So I was excited. And so I told him one night, we were sitting up there on the phone. We were on FaceTime. We stayed on FaceTime all the time. We were on the phone one night and I was like, man, I can't wait until you move. You'll be so much closer to me. And and all that stuff. And so instantly he goes, well, I'm going to be closer to everybody. If you hear me pausing and you hear that subtle sigh in my voice, that's because in that moment, I knew that this was not going to be it. And I paused and I sat there for a long moment. I was really like, I had a long moment with myself and he was packing his stuff and everything else, right? And all that jazz. And he was just like, why you stop talking? I said, hey, I need to go do something real quick. Let me call you back. And in that moment, I allowed myself to acknowledge everything that I felt. In that moment, I felt so insignificant. I felt so small. I felt so just unimportant to him, right? And those were all the things that I was feeling in that moment because I don't think you guys realize the way that I worded that sentence. And I was very aware and strategic. It wasn't like I was putting him to a test. I was really just excited about a guy that I was very interested in. And, we've had a good history with each other, had built a great rapport. And the fact of the matter is that he diminished a moment that I was trying to have with him, something that was significant for me because I thought that meant that we could build to make something more and see where it could really go. And in his mindset, he just diminished it to something so small. And it made me feel very small, actually, and insignificant. And I was just like, damn. Like, you didn't read the room? And so next thing you know, I cried for a moment. I did. I'm not going to even lie. Because in that moment, when you really realize, especially when you start to become more self-aware, when you realize that a person is not for you, you're just like, damn, oh my God, I got to go through this again. And it's like you feel almost like a little slightly defeated, but then you become aware and you're just like, you know what you have to do, right? And so next thing you know, I call him back and he's like, what's wrong with you? And he was like, you been crying? I said, yeah, I did. I was like, I had to have that moment to myself because I was like, I didn't know how to talk to you right then. And he was like, what do you mean? What's wrong? I said, you remember when I said, I can't wait for you to move because then you'll be closer to me. And he was like, yeah. He was like, yeah. And he was so nonchalant, right? And it still hadn't dawned on him how insignificant he had just made me feel. And so I told him, I said, I don't think you really pay attention to the things that I say to you. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, I literally just told you that you're important to me and I'm happy in a nutshell that we'll be able to expand upon our connection that we've already started. And you just basically watered that down and diminished it. And he was like, how? And I'm just like, when you said, yeah, but I'll be closer to everybody. That just basically told me that what I just told you held no weight. There's no significance. There's no none of that because you just diminished it in less than 2.5 seconds. And he went like, what? And he paused. And he was just like, oh, damn. Like, what do I do? And it was in that moment, it was like, because it was like almost like checkmate. Like, I just checked your ass. Like, not like a, like, yeah, what's good, bro? Like, yeah, what you got to say now? No, I was so soft. I think that was one of the most feminine moments I've ever had with being vulnerable with a guy and letting them know that they made me feel insignificant in that moment. Right. And it was the fact that he literally was just like a deer caught in headlights. He literally just, it never even began to dawn on him at all. And there was no reconciliation. There was no like, well, no, like no, there was no rebuttal back. There was no like, no, that's not what I meant or this and the third. And so what I told him was, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be real. I know you got a lot going on. You're trying to move and everything else, but I think I'm gonna go my separate ways. And I said, even though I care for you deeply and I really thought we could have had something and I was really hoping that we could have built on that, I realized that I'm not a priority in your life and I have to accept that for what it is. And that's pretty much in a nutshell. I'm paraphrasing because, I mean, like I say, it's been like 3 years now, so I kind of can't remember. But in the grand scheme of things, I just, you know, said my adieus. And I mean, even though it was hard, it was difficult because, like I say, again, I really thought that this person thought that I could build with and really have something with. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the problem. When I look back at it, right? Because when you're in a good thing, you look back at all the bad things you went through. Maybe it's just me. Let me know in the comments if y'all do the same thing. When I am in a good space in my life, even if everything is not perfect, but when I feel good about myself and the life that I have, oh, thank you, Sugarfoot, for the gifts. When I feel good about those things, I take a moment and reflect on what I've been through for me to really even appreciate more what I have. You see what I'm going at? And so recently, I really looked at the relationship that I have with my partner now, Antonio. Love him to death. I feel like it's the love of my life. Love you, babe. What I really had to, I had to pause really for a moment to really just let that sit in for a second. What I really had to realize was that everything that I had been through with men that did not see my worth, did not see my value, did not see the significance of what I was trying to give and who I was trying to be to them, being myself entirely. I really looked and I realized that to me, especially with California, he just checked off everything on paper. And I really had to stop and think about that for a second. I said, was I really that enthralled with him, like for who he was as a person, or what he checked boxes for me at that time? I mean, because look at it. He had a great career. He was going to go into another career. He was goal driven. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Made his own money, all these things. So he was great on paper, but he didn't work for me in reality. And that's the part that I think is a lot of times what crushes a lot of people, even, you know, men and women, to be honest. People fall in love with potential and they get broken or heartbroken by reality. I've said this so many times before because I've had to live that. And it's been a real thing. Hello, Miss G. Hey, hey, hey. It's been a real thing. When you fall in love with a person's potential, you are falling in love with the idea of what they can someday be, instead of acknowledging exactly where they are right now. I had to learn that in order for my love for a person to be real, I need to know that I'm in love with you right now, not what you'll be to me in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years when you finally realize my worth and finally realize what a possible good candidate of a husband you could be to me. No, what you are to me right now is what I have to focus on, because I'm with you in this moment now. I can't say that I can hold out until you become the person I need you to be in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. So you mean to tell me I'm supposed to settle for a version of you that does not actually add anything to my life, to the version that I'm giving you? I'm giving you 150% and you're meeting me with 20. So that means that I'm always going to be overexerting myself and always feeling tired and drained because I'm always being left on empty. When you are a vessel, when your light and your energy is so big and you're giving a little bit here to your family, you may give a little bit here to your kids, you're giving this right here to the person that you say that you're, you know, in a relationship, right? And all these things are supposed to pour back into you, right? But here's the problem. Some of those segments are not pulling their weight. So let's say if I took a glass and, okay, I took that glass. Let's say it was an 8-ounce glass, right? So we're going to break it up in segments. Eights is even number. Let's make it work, right? So let's say I give out of eight, I'm going to say I give 4 of it to my family, friends, you know, kids and all that, right? And then let's say the other half is for my supposed to be partner, right? So that's 4 and 4, that's 8, right? And so let's say, for example, I get 4 back from the family, the friends, and the loved ones because they understand my worth, they understand my value, so they pour back into me. But yet, I'm still living and feeling half empty because the person I'm dealing with is not pouring back into me. They only pour back in 20% of the 4 that they're supposed to give. So now, instead of me being at 8 ounces, I'm only at like 5, maybe 6. And I know you're thinking to yourself like, okay, but that's still a lot of water, but it's not a full glass. Just think how you operate on full, and just think about how much you're not getting done or not, how many things that you're not feeling because you're operating only at 60%. You're not operating at 100% because there's portions missing. So you see what I'm saying? So then just like if, you know, you're supposed to have at least 8 glasses a day of 8 ounces of water. If every glass is less than 8 ounces, how are you fully getting your nutrition that your body needs? That's the same thing with people. If people are not giving you exactly what you give back out, you are basically operating in insanity because you're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, but you're getting the same thing every time. That is pure blatant insanity, and it makes no sense. And at the end of the day, why are you going to drive yourself insane while you're making somebody else sane? You're providing them peace while they're slowly tearing down the peace that you've created for yourself. That makes no sense. And that's the reason why I tell people at the end of the day, do not be with somebody that subtracts from what you already provide yourself. Be with somebody that adds to what you already provide. Because at the end of the day, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith said it best. I know people are on the fence about that couple. I still love that couple regardless. They're one of my favorites. I'm not going to lie. Will and Jada had a whole interview segment when somebody asked them about how did they make their marriage work, like for the long haul, because they've been married for over 20 something years, right? And I'll never forget this about what Will Smith said. He said, "It is not my job to provide her happiness. It is my job to not take from it." And I said, "Ooh, ooh, Will, Big Daddy Will, yes." And so let me elaborate in case you don't understand what I'm saying right now. If your sole purpose is to find somebody that makes you happy, you'll always be searching. Because at the end of the day, that person is not supposed to make you happy. They're supposed to add to the happiness that you already find fulfillment in your own life. That is the whole point of being a whole person, becoming two wholes to make a bigger entity. Because a lot of times people say, "Oh, I just want to find my other half." So you mean to tell me that you're still walking around unwhole until you find your other half? That makes no sense to me. You can make it make sense all day when people say, "Oh, this is my better half." That's a diminish on yourself, because at the end of the day, you're already supposed to be a whole embodiment of a person. You should already know what makes you happy, what makes you cry, all these different things. Your whole entity of who you are as a person, you should already have that figured out before you decide that you want to be with somebody and then don't know if they're going to add to you or subtract from you. And that is the crazy part that makes no sense to me at all. And so when Will Smith said, he said, "It is not my job to provide her happiness. It is my job to make sure I do not take from what she provides herself. I'm supposed to add to what she already carries." And so when Will Smith said that, and Jada Pinkett Smith was like, "Beautifully said, honey," it made so much sense to me, because a lot of times we are out here searching for something, AKA the fuckboy. We're trying to turn them into something that is supposed to be everlasting when we should already have certain portions of that of within ourselves. Because then again, once that person goes away, your happiness doesn't go. You see what I'm saying? If we make somebody the sole source of our happiness and our sole source of love, our sole source of this and that, we are giving them a power that once they go, all those things that we have given them power over goes with them. And that is the reason why you must be a whole individual in order to have a whole relationship. Just saying what I'm saying. I ain't telling y'all what I don't know. I'm telling y'all what I know. Okay. And so with that being said, you guys, of course, as you already know, I hope you've been enjoying yourselves while y'all are watching me live on TikTok. Again, to my podcast world, make sure you check your girl out, your favorite cousin, you even know you need it. You know I'm your favorite. Of course, on the Spotify podcast, okay, also known as the Ask Your Cousin podcast, which again, you're listening to me now on this platform on either Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music. And I couldn't be more grateful to have you. But we're going to get ready to wrap things up to a close here. Wrap up the episode of Surviving a Fuckboy. I hope you guys have gotten a little bit of nuggets, a few gems, hell, a few diamonds even, if you will. Make do with it what you can, okay? And at the end of the day, I want you to know, if you don't know nothing else, you are capable and you are able as long as you realize that you're willing. Ooh, the depths of what I just said. Yes, I did. I said what I said. Mm-hmm. But of course, leaving things out, you guys, make sure you follow me and find me on TikTok at LadyPainting90. Also as well, you can find me on the gram as LadyPainting_MUA. And as always, I'm wishing you good days, good nights, and many beautiful dreams. Bye, you guys. Until next time.